Hour number three on this Tuesday. Trey Elling on his way back. He'll be back tomorrow from the wedding trip. Hope everybody had a great time in the Mexican wedding group. That had to be a lot of fun. We'll get the report on that tomorrow. Coming up later this hour at 2:30, I'll tell you why October the 27th matters, including my favorite color of cat and a branch of the military we're going to give a little love to today. Plus, one of my favorite sportscasters of all time with a birthday. Also, we've been talking Cowboys, we've been talking Longhorns, more Cowboys talk coming up. But first, let's tell you about the Coors Light, chilling with the horns. It continues till 3. We're up in Round Rock today. Go to the Specs on University Oaks Boulevard. Take a picture with that Coors Light Longhorn display. Use the hashtag LonghornsMadeToChill for your chance to win. What are you winning? A $50 gift card to the UT Co-op online store. Best of luck. That's how you get entered for that gift card. All right, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Have our weekly conversation with Ari Temkin. You hear him on the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network. You hear him on Big 12 Radio on Sirius XM as well. Ari, how are you?
Chad, I'm doing great, man. How are you?
Oh, my goodness. It's another one of those weeks where the Cowboys just keep being the Cowboys. So let me see if I've got the scoreboard correct here. Lose to the Washington football team like that. Andy Dalton gets taken out of the game like that. The defensive coordinator can't keep Tabasco out of his eye during a Zoom call. And Jerry Jones told 105.3 to shut up today because they asked him about leadership. Do I have all that right?
You're probably missing a few things, but yeah, I think that pretty well sums it up.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's just business as usual for the Cowboys, right? I mean, Chad, you know as well as I do, the Dallas Cowboys are God's gift to sports talk radio. It doesn't matter the year. It doesn't matter the week. It's perpetual. It's omnipresent. And, yeah, it's the Cowboys. And I would, by the way, Mike Nolan will most likely lose his job after the season, rightfully so. But after that, I'd probably fire him today. I can't have my defensive coordinator be so stupid that he doesn't know that he's got Tabasco on his hands that he's rubbing in his eyes. Yeah. Like that's one of those immediate firings for me if I'm Jerry.
It's so goofy. I said it earlier, I'm not spicy food guy. But if I was spicy food guy, I would learn where the spicy food is, when it is there, and if I'm working, I make sure spicy food doesn't end up in my eye. Like, I mean, come on, Ari. I learned a lesson about spicy food when I was 14 years old. This man is full grown and he jammed Tabasco in his own eye. Come on.
And I mean, especially, I'll tell you what, in this day and age with COVID, I think I'm more conscientious of my hands
exactly.
And what I touched and then what I can't touch after the fact, that it just, I mean, this is just the height of stupidity for a guy that hasn't really, you know, done a good job of making it seem like he knows what he's doing as a defensive coordinator.
Well, and that's the thing, Ari. If there's a surprise for you, one of the bigger surprises for me for the game against Washington is that Dalton's play doesn't result in some kind of suspension or whatever, because I thought it was just brutal what Bostic did. It's probably because it was Dalton and not Dak, or Dalton and not another quarterback. But maybe the biggest surprise probably needs to be the fact that the Washington team hung 25 on the Cowboys, and it felt like 50. I mean, was that the biggest surprise for you that, yeah, we know this defense is bad, but that Washington looked like that against the Cowboys? Because that looked like a real football team. The Cowboys defense made them, I should say, look like a pretty real football team.
Yeah, we shouldn't be surprised anymore if we are, you know? I mean, I after the Dak injury, I was sort of like, well, let's see. You know, let's see how much this offense changes. Let's see if this team can, you know, can limit turnovers. Let's see what it looks like. And then after the Arizona game, it was like, well, maybe I've seen enough.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was just some fluky turnovers that you don't expect. And I mean, I watched the Washington game, and the number one thing I could think of was we know what this team is after 7 weeks. And I don't know that I see this team winning another game this season. They are just – I don't know if you had a chance to watch Monday Night Football last night.
Yeah.
The Chicago Bears have a brutal offense. They are 5-2 now with the 30th-ranked offense in yards per play, which is an important metric. And, I mean, like, the Cowboys are like that on both sides of the ball. Like, you know, the Bears have a dominating defense. That's why they're 5-2. The Cowboys are just that bad on offense, that bad on defense, and – you know, I mean, it's turnovers. They continue to turn the ball over. They continue to not turn teams over. And, you know, and this defense is just really, really bad. And what I'll say is, you know, we took a lot of calls the postgame show, and people are, like, talking about a rebuild and blowing it up and blaming Jerry. And, look, I want to blame Jerry as much as the next guy. And I'm never going to stop myself from being critical of a coaching staff or of an organization when we should be critical of them. But, like, I also think we need to evaluate what we expected out of this team this year. I expected this team to be really, really good offensively and pretty bad defensively. In fact, I keep saying this, but I was saying before the season, if this defense is average, they can win a Super Bowl. But I didn't know if this defense could be average. So I say all that to say, like, what more could the front office have done aside from improving the defense? But, like, do they need to get more backup offensive linemen? You know, so, like, I hate to be the, you know, woe is me, but that's kind of the situation for the 2020 Cowboys. I don't think this is a full-on rebuild. This is a team that doesn't have four of its starting five offensive linemen and its starting quarterback. Very few teams, if any, in the NFL could survive that. And that's the biggest issue here. The defense is a problem. I get that. But it wasn't going to be good this year.
Right.
The biggest disappointment with the defense, I think, is the defensive line. They've underachieved there. But in terms of, like, full-on rebuild, blame Jerry, it's all his fault. It's like, well, what are they supposed to do? I mean, there are very few teams in the NFL that have five average offensive linemen. You know, like, the Cowboys, at the very least, have, you know, three really good ones and then two that start that are average to below, you know, to right below average. You know, people think Connor Williams is just horrible, and it's like he's an average guard, which most teams would love to have. So it's, you know, it's just a thing that they've lost their offensive line. They lost their quarterback. Their offense isn't special anymore, and this is what we're seeing, a defense that was not going to be good with an offense that's not good because of the injuries that they've had.
Yeah, no doubt. Oh, by the way, one extra just absolute kick to the crotch for Cowboys fans, if you really know football. Ari, Antonio Gibson had 20 carries for 128 and a touchdown. That's a 6.4-yard average. You happen to know where Antonio Gibson went to college?
Memphis, but he was a wide receiver, right?
He did go to Memphis. See, as a Cowboys fan, that one pokes at me a little bit. It's like, oh, okay. So I get what's supposed to be Tony Pollard, but Antonio Gibson goes 120.
Man. Tony Pollard, if Tony Pollard were on that team, he probably would have gone for 200.
Yeah, he would have. Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, that you're probably right about.
De'Ernest Johnson, Anthony Gibson, it doesn't matter. Trad Hastings, it doesn't matter.
No, it's too. Hey, when you, I don't care what kind of football you're talking about nowadays. I know all the metrics have changed. When you go over 200 yards rushing as a team and you rush for more than five a carry, you're dominating somebody. And that's what Washington did, man. That is the truth of the matter.
What about Kyle Allen? What about the Aggie Kyle Allen? I mean, he looked like Joe Montana against this defense.
He did. 111.1 on the rating. 111.1 for Kyle Allen. Man, it reminded me of when he, like, upset Auburn back in the day when they went on the road and that upset him. He hadn't played that well since that day. So, Ari, speaking of quarterbacks, take me to the Andy Dalton moment and walk me through this a little bit. You had the head coach after the game saying he was upset somebody didn't get in Bostic's face. That play ends up being this weird microcosm of where that team was mentally. I felt like Andy Dalton was trying to convince his guys to care at one point in that game, then he gets knocked silly, and they showed that they didn't seem to care. Like, what'd you make of that whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, the hit was so vicious. And, I mean, I think I've fundamentally changed as a football fan, certainly over the last 5-10 years, you know, as head injuries have kind of come to the forefront. You know, I guess I wasn't so queasy when it came to hits like that. Or maybe I was, but, you know, I didn't realize how much I was. But, yeah, I mean, that was, to me, as hard as watching the Dak Prescott injury, just because of, I mean, it was just a missile head-on-head flush, and you could just see the way his head reacted. It was just tough to watch. And then, yeah, I mean, you know, you kind of see nobody really get in the face or back up Andy Dalton. And, you know, on the postgame show, this is obviously a huge talking point. And, you know, I really liked what Brian Broaddus said about it, and that is, you know, if Lyle Collins is out there, if Tyron Smith is out there, if Zach Martin is out there, if Travis Frederick is out there, if, you know, I think there's an element of here's a bunch of young guys that probably don't know their place or role in that way, whereas
didn't want to get thrown out,
sort of, right?
Maybe.
And not only, I mean, look, and maybe we're just making excuses for guys that are losers, you know, but I certainly think there's an element of, hey, if these are veterans that kind of know a little bit, then they're doing that. And in this case, I think, I mean, you've got guys that are probably just on stage fright anyways. So let alone like a situation like that happens, they probably don't know how to react. But it definitely is very much in line with the season for the team, right? I mean, it's just so perfect for this team. It's like they can't do anything right. Like they cannot do anything right. Down to putting Tabasco in your eyes, to not knowing how to react when your quarterback gets knocked out cold on a vicious hit by a headhunting linebacker. Like it is just a season of, it doesn't seem like, it seems almost like when positive things happen to this team, it's like a shock and a coincidence. Like, wow, that I didn't know that could happen to this team.
Yeah.
And so it really just is like the Cowboys have in 2020 have fully embraced 2020. Fully embraced. And I think going 2-14 to finish the season is the perfect coda to that.
Wow. Ari Temkin, Dallas Cowboys Radio Network, joining us. So, Ari, let me make sure I have the full scoreboard out in front of us so that when Jerry Jones finally says the thing that either gets him fired or suspended or, I don't know, whatever, thrown out of the league, we'll know the score. So, in counting the interview y'all run in the postgame, counting the interview you run in the pregame, counting what he did today with 105.3, that's three for the week. How many more does he do? How many more regular hits? And how many, because I think he has a radio show. Like, how many of this kind of stuff does he do each week still at age 78?
So he does two interviews per week on the shows.
Okay.
And then, because he does the one this morning with Sean and RJ, and then he does one later in the week with the KNC Masterpiece, and that's the one where, you know, he's had some pretty big fireworks. He actually swore last week on that show.
Uh-huh.
I think last year he had the same thing where he swore, they had to hit the drop button so much that they kicked him out. You know, so I didn't even realize this. And obviously in radio talk, you know, behind the scenes, when somebody swears, you know, there's a delay so that the producer can hit the drop button. But if you hit it so many times, it's going to think, hey, this person's crazy, I should just automatically kick them off. Well, that's what they did to Jerry. That's what happened to Jerry. He literally got kicked off by the drop button because he swore so many times.
Wow. Yeah. I remember hearing that. It's crazy. So he does, like, if it's those two hits plus that's two on the game, that's four. And doesn't he have his own radio show each week, or is that not going on anymore?
No, not anymore.
Okay, good. Yeah, so we may be at four each week, though. The owner of an NFL team shouldn't do any of those, but he does all four. So, I mean, I wasn't surprised by this morning. You weren't surprised by this morning. My worry, though, is I don't know what to tell Cowboy fans that this is a worry moment or this is something they need to hope for, but I'm just afraid that Jerry at some point is going to have, whether it's swearing or a comment about women, or a comment about Hitler, or a comment about a race of people, where he's just going to ramble his way into a problem. That's my biggest concern, honestly. This isn't about football acumen to me, Ari. This is about he's going to say something so dumb or so off base that cancel culture is going to come get him.
I'm actually kind of shocked it hasn't happened yet, to be honest with you. I mean, the incoherent ramblings of a 78-year-old man, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
It is, you know, and look, I think nobody's going to feel bad for Jerry. Nobody's going to feel bad for Jerry, right? Yeah. Nobody.
True.
But I think what we have here is this guy that he wanted so badly to win a championship without Jimmy, right? Like, that's all he's wanted. And he's had this confidence that he could do it and that he's going to do it. And I get the feeling now that he's realizing he's not going to do it. And that's the frustration level that he has right now, that he keeps thinking every year, this is the year. And it's like, we're close and we're close and we're close. And it's like this season just hit him right upside the head. And now he has this like total moment of, oh God, I'm not going to do it. This isn't going to, I'm not going to win another title without Jimmy. And that's how it's going to end for me. And so that's what this seems to me, because he's taking this worse than I would have expected, considering it's pretty obvious why they're bad. Like, it's not, this isn't a big mystery. They have all these injuries on offense, and their defense is going to be bad. So I just think his anger and frustration level are all tied to this, like this full on understanding. Like, he's a very optimistic human being naturally, and that's part of his genius, certainly. But I think there's a very fatalistic sort of undertone here that, that very much is hitting him like a ton of bricks.
Yeah, he thought it was going to be more, we all thought that it was going to be more real football because of McCarthy and the fact that it just felt like more of a real football coach. The thing he didn't realize was it was going to be real bad football. And it is real. This is real football. There's no doubt about it. But, yeah, there's a lot of bad stuff that's happening here. And we'll see if Jerry can keep it calmed down enough to deal with this. So Cowboys at the Eagles this week. Ari, the beauty and the curse of the Cowboys, that game should get flexed to a blackout. But it's going to stay right where it is. NBC is going to put that circus out there for everybody to watch, and they'll love it. They'll almost want DiNucci to play. Because they know everybody's going to watch. The Cowboys, like you said at the beginning of this, they're interesting, good or bad.
Yeah, I was as somebody that hosts the postgame show until 1 o'clock in the morning and then has to wake up for a morning show the next morning.
Oof.
I was definitely hoping for a flex.
I bet you were. I bet you were. Hey, real quick before
but, yeah. It takes a ton for them to move this franchise out of that spot.
Yeah.
A ton.
Oh yeah, no. There are games staring at us that would be much more entertaining, but no, they don't need to do that. They won't do it. So Ari, before I let you go, a reference to the next Texas game. I got a text today from an Oklahoma State fan saying they're as excited about this game as they've been in a decade to see the Cowboys play the Longhorns. Obviously, Longhorn fans might have a little different feeling. Do you think we're going to see a statement on Saturday from Oklahoma State that they deserve to be number six, that they are legit in terms of this, they are the pride of the Big 12, or do you think they're just number six in a pandemic, you know, college football year?
I mean, I'd say you can make the case both of these teams are looking to make a pretty significant statement. Look, Oklahoma State's legit. You know, I mean, and I know that because we expect them to be really good going into the season. This isn't a surprise. I think the surprise is really everybody else in this conference. You know, I think we expected Oklahoma and Texas to maybe be closer to them in terms of being undefeated and whatnot. So, I mean, their defense, like to me, the biggest difference with Oklahoma State is their defense. It is really, really good. They're really good up front. They absolutely destroyed Iowa State up front. And granted, Iowa State had some injuries in their offensive line, but I mean, they owned line of scrimmage against Iowa State on the defensive side of the football. They've got a great secondary. I mean, they are just 1 through 11 on defense, starters, and then guys that coming off the bench for them, absolutely loaded. And that's what makes them really good. I mean, they are, Chad. I mean, they're loaded everywhere. The biggest question mark for them is at quarterback. You know, I mean, Spencer Sanders, who's from Denton Guyer and is, you know, was a top recruit coming in. You know, he's a redshirt sophomore and he's still making mistakes. He had two picks in this game. Turnovers were a huge issue for him last year. And it wasn't, to me, redshirt freshman mistakes. Like, there were some of them. But then there are other ones where it's just stupid mistakes. You know, ones that you don't chalk up to inexperience. It's more like, you know, he's kind of trying, you know, he's trying to search for something as he kind of runs toward the sideline, scrambles the sideline a little bit. And he's trying, and like, instead of just throwing it away and throwing it out of bounds, he throws it in play and he throws an interception. Like, it's stuff like that where it's like, that's not inexperience so much as it is like, that's a pretty basic, just throw the ball away kind of decision there.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Tylan Wallace is really good. Austin Stogner is really good. Chuba Hubbard, obviously, is really good. So it's like they are really loaded everywhere. The biggest question mark is quarterback. If they turn the football over, Spencer Sanders has two picks in this game. Texas can make them pay because Texas's offense is better than Iowa State's. And I like to see Sam Ellinger get back to the downfield passing attack because, again, in the Oklahoma game, he just really was not able to connect on those. But he obviously was, you know, with Joshua Moore and even Tarik Black early in the game too. So I just think Texas's offense is much better than Iowa State's, especially on the outside. Iowa State doesn't have the receivers on the outside. They've got the tight ends in the middle that can take advantage of the field. But Texas, I think, has the wideouts that can really, you know, stretch the field a bit and put some pressure on them. I'm going to pick Oklahoma State to win this game, but I think, you know, it's as big of a statement potentially for Texas as it would be for Oklahoma State on the national level. And,
no doubt.
You know, and Oklahoma State's the one chance for this conference to get into the playoff at this point.
And by the way, you mentioned Stogner. That's the Oklahoma guy. But Oklahoma State's got that 6'7 tied in, Jelani Woods. And you got Dylan Stoner, the slot receiver. But have you seen that Jelani Woods cat? He's 6'7", like 270, and can run.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Right. That's not, like, they are loaded everywhere. And the only question mark is a quarterback. And this is a guy that has the talent, should be better. So we'll see. But
yeah.
You know what I mean? weapons everywhere. There's Stogners and Stoners everywhere.
That's true. We've all had some Stogners and Stoners if you've been to Oklahoma. There's a lot of those going on up there. That's Ari Temkin, Dallas Cowboys Radio Network, Big 12 Radio on Sirius XM. And if you're on Twitter, give him a follow, at Ari Sports. We talk to him every Tuesday. Ari, hold your breath. The Cowboys actually play some real football, and we'll talk to you next week.
The march to 2-14 and Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence continues, my friend.
Thank you, sir. It makes me smile but also cry at the same time. My God. That is Ari Temkin. We're getting ready for Cowboys-Eagles. Remember, we got that one for you on Sunday night. No, they haven't flexed it yet. 6:30 pregame, 7:30 abouts or thereabouts on the kick. And no, they're not going to, because coming on air and talking about it, and this Jerry story locked it down. If you thought they were moving that game, this story makes sure they don't. Are you kidding? Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth get to talk about that? Well, you know, Jerry told a radio reporter to shut up, and they'll go into that whole thing. That means if the game gets out of whack, you talk about Cowboy troubles? Oh, it's easy. It's easy. And there are games to put on, trust me. The winning matchups are Pittsburgh-Baltimore. Be easy. Flex that one, no problem. New Orleans-Chicago would be better. San Francisco-Seattle would be better, but you just did it with the Seahawks, so they probably wouldn't do that again. Yeah, those would give you the games to move. They would all make sense. They won't move them. They're going to leave the Cowboys right where they are. All right, coming up, tell you why October the 27th matters. A couple of birthdays and some really good national days to celebrate today. Plus, before we get out of here, Stems and Seeds, got to talk about what tonight could be. Because if you're a Dodgers fan like our man Craig Way, especially if you're Craig Way and you know your history in baseball, you know one thing is important tonight. You have got to close the door if you get the opportunity. We'll talk about that before we're done on the Horn. I'll bring in some percussion. I like that. What do you got, Sam?
This is actually the Doobie Brothers, a song called Long Train Runnin'.
When you go to the detail of, like, you know, taking a bongo player out with you, I always love those kind of bands. Those bands make a certain statement. When you go on tour and you've got like a drummer, and then you have like a full percussion guy that's got bongos and maracas.
The chimes.
He's got the chimes, the triangle. Like, he's got everything. I saw the Black Crows once years ago here in Austin. They had one of those dudes, and they ended up playing like a 35-minute version of this song, and it featured, I swear to you, it felt like, I don't know, 9 drum solos or percussion solos. Like, it was unbelievable. You're like, hey, fellas, we got work tomorrow, man. What are you doing? That's awesome. So the Doobies, what's it called?
Long Train Running.
Long Train Running. Sam Pika producing today, getting us some great music as always. Let me get you, I teased it earlier, the text coming in from an Oklahoma State fan. If you're a Longhorn fan, you need to hope this is absolutely not true. Says, this may be the most pumped I've been for an Oklahoma State-Texas game in the last decade. See, they reoriented it that way because they're an Oklahoma State fan. An Oklahoma State grad. We finally have a defense. And that offense for Oklahoma State hasn't even had a game where they really came out and clicked like they can. I think this week is going to be an offensive coming out party for the Cowboys, and that we see the 35-plus points that we've become accustomed to. And I would agree with what Jeff Ward said earlier when he joined us in the 1 o'clock hour. If this game plays up into the 30s, can the Longhorns win a battle like that? If this gets up into that 35-point area, there was a day where Texas could go to Stillwater and win 38-35, not even worried about it. There was a day they could go to Stillwater and get down at the half right around Halloween. No problem. They had Vince Young that night. Legendary night. They got way back here in Austin the year before. Had that huge comeback. That has happened. This year, though, I don't know. I don't know if they can play that type of game with Oklahoma State. All right. It is October the 27th. Let me tell you why that matters. Here we go.
Why Today Matters, brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialist. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialist. 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
And shout out to Sinus and Snoring Specialist and Dr. Slaughter, doing great work over there. Also, shout out to our man Trey Elling. He'll be back tomorrow. He's coming back from the Mexican wedding. Not his. A friend of his got married. He and his wife got to go, though. So we'll hear the stories of that tomorrow. And we've got your chance to win the $50 gift card to the UT Co-op online store. That's why today matters, because we're getting you a chance to win this thing. Go to Specs today up in Round Rock on University Oaks Boulevard. Take a picture with the Longhorn display, the Coors Light Longhorn display, and use the hashtag Longhorns Made to Chill for your chance to win. You can go to hornfm.com to find out when we are going to be doing that next. But you can do that all the way up to 3 o'clock, Round Rock Specs, and get stocked up on your Coors Light for Texas and Oklahoma State. All right, why today matters? Speaking of Coors Light, today is National American Beer Day. Look, they make good beer in other places. I've had good beer from other places, but today's the day to celebrate your great American beers. Obviously, on this show, we talk plenty of Coors and that Miller Coors family. We're in the state of Texas. There's a lot of great beer that's made right here in the state of Texas. So get yourself some good American beer today. Also, if you and your family are thinking about adopting a new pet, specifically a new cat, please consider a black cat. It's my favorite of the cats. I love a good black cat. It's almost Halloween. Getting a black cat on Halloween week, that'd be perfect. Don't be the crazy superstitious person that doesn't get a black cat because of that. By the way, they say that adoptions are down for black cats just like they're down for black dogs for some reason. People don't want to adopt them. They're my favorite lab is the black lab, my favorite cat, black cat. For some reason, people aren't adopting them. I guess I need to go adopt more of them. Today is National Black Cat Day, so shout out to all the black cats out there. Also, if you are associated with the Naval Academy, today is your day. Today's National Navy Day, so let's give a shout out to all those folks who are serving or who have served in the United States Navy. My father-in-law and brother-in-law were both in the Navy, so a big salute to all you Navy folks out there. On the birthday front, I was raised a Monty Python freak, and John Cleese is 81 years old today. Happy birthday to John. If you have kids that are Harry Potter people, they know John Cleese from something else. He was a ghost without a head, or a ghost with a head coming off in Harry Potter.
That sounds like something he would do.
That's who he is. Yeah, he's that guy. And Cleese has been in a lot of different things. A Fish Called Wanda is an amazing movie that he was in back in the day. So shout out to Cleese. Also, shout out to one of my favorite sportscasters of all time. Kids, when I was young, there was a show called NFL Today. Brent Musburger was leading the show. He was awesome. Jimmy the Greek was on there till he got in trouble for some comments. He was awesome. You had your Phyllis George, who was like a Miss America, Miss USA, like beauty contestant, beautiful, but also did incredible work. She was great. And at one point, they added another lady, one of my favorites of all time, the beautiful, the talented, Jane Kennedy, has a birthday today. Happy birthday to Jane Kennedy. She is 69 years old today. Brad Kellner's out there somewhere saying, nice. And if you know some of the behind-the-scenes stories of Jane Kennedy, you're really saying, nice, right now. I'm not getting into all that. I'm not getting into people's personal business. I'm just telling you, she was gorgeous back in the day, and she, just like Phyllis George, proved that you can be drop-dead gorgeous and also do incredible work, and also do really good reporting on the NFL. I thought she did a great job back in the day. Though in Irv Cross, it was one of my favorite shows of all time. Happy birthday to Jane. Also, happy birthday to my coach. One of them, at least. Rick Carlisle is 61 years old today. He's now the coach of the Mavericks, of course. The old school for Rick Carlisle, if you're a super nerd, he started at Maine, but he ended up at Virginia. Rick Carlisle played college basketball with Ralph Sampson at Virginia. That means in back-to-back years, he was on a team that lost to North Carolina State, the eventual champs, Wittenberg and Charles and those guys. And then in 84, they go on a run, I think, to the Final Four, somewhere around that level, the good run in the tournament, and they lost to Houston, to the Phi Slamma Jamma crew that eventually lost to Georgetown, but that's how Virginia went out. So Rick Carlisle didn't just play college basketball. He was on some really, really good Virginia teams. So happy birthday to the coach today as well. The man who gets to coach Luka and Porzingis and whatever the Mavs might add moving forward. It's going to be fun as a Mavs fan to see how they do. All right, that's why October the 27th matters today. Hope you're having a good October 27. Up next, let's talk stems and seeds. To me, there is one big issue to talk about, but we'll throw in some things. We got some updates from around sports, injuries and things. But the biggest story to me is Game 6 tonight. A little preview of that and a reminder of just how crazy Game 6s can get. We'll see what happens tonight in Arlington. Stay with us. It's The Horn. You bringing a flute section in? What's going on here?
A little bit of one.
Who's this?
This is Milton Wright, a song called Get No Lovin' Tonight.
There we go. Sam Pica producing for us today. We appreciate that. Trey Elling will be back tomorrow. And a lot of stuff going on today. One more time, let me remind you, we've got the Coors Light Chilling with the Horns going on. We're in Round Rock today. Head up to the Specs in Round Rock, University Oaks Boulevard in Round Rock, and use the hashtag LonghornsMadeToChill. When you take a picture with the Coors Light Longhorn display, you're going to be registered for a $50 gift card to the UT Co-op online store. One more time, thanks to the Co-op, thanks to Specs. Get all stocked up for Texas and Oklahoma State with your Coors Light. I always recommend bottles, but whatever you love, grab as much Coors Light as you want. And thanks to Coors Light, of course, for being a great partner of ours. Speaking of Coors Light, Longhorn Game Day brought to you by Coors Light will fire up at 11 straight up this week with Bucky and myself. Network broadcast at 2. Kickoff at 3, and there's rumors. They're only rumors at this point because I'm starting to think this dude's chicken is like the Loch Ness Monster. But there's rumors we might try this Lonnie's Chicken from the League Kitchen and Tavern this week. We'll see. Lonnie, if you're out there, we're looking forward to checking out that chicken, brother. All right, let's get you stems and seeds, and we'll talk Game 6.
No stress, no seeds, no stems, no sticks.
Brought to you by AV Consultations. Call 255-8678, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. If you are out there and you are either Craigway or you are like Craigway and you're a big Dodgers fan, for your sake, I hope you get the door closed tonight. Game 6s can be so bizarre. I heard Craig and Jeff talking about it a little bit as I was driving in today. If you're a baseball fan, you've seen so many bizarre situations. I've had 3 instances as a baseball fan in my life where my soul literally got crushed by a World Series, which would have involved wacky Game 6s. I'll just say 2011 and not talk about the rest of that as a Rangers fan, but as a Braves fan, go back to 91, the we'll see you tomorrow night game in Game 6, Kirby Puckett and all that. Yeah, the Braves couldn't close the door. Now, the difference there, of course, is that was a true road environment, and you didn't feel like they would be good in Game 7 if they had to go to that. Ultimately, that's what happened to the Rangers, right, in that situation with St. Louis. I believe that was at the end of the series. But then you got, you know, the Mookie Wilson thing was a Game 6. Don Dankinger in the bad call at first that they should have fixed, but they didn't have instant replay because baseball was so stupid and analog for all those years. That turned into a Game 7 blowout the next day for the Kansas City Royals. There's just so many instances. Go back to, now it wasn't a World Series, but wasn't the Bartman thing a Game 6 where the Cubs couldn't figure out the Game 6 and then you just felt like Game 7, there's no chance, that they didn't have a shot even though I think they led that game or whatever it was. That has the moment. Go to the Dusty Baker bad luck game. Dusty Baker and the Giants against the Angels. I believe that was a Game 6 where he thought the game was over, walked out, took Russ Ortiz, I think was his name, took him out. And handed him the baseball as a souvenir. Hey, congrats, man. We're going to win this World Series. Here, take the ball with you. And the other part of the jinx, Willie Mays himself was in the dugout, and he popped a champagne bottle before they won the damn thing. Angels came back to get him. So the key to tonight for you Dodger fans, it's not that you have to win. You don't. You have to win if you're supposed to win, if that makes any sense. What you can't do is cheat the baseball gods. They know. Even in a pandemic, even with cardboard people, even though you're in Texas and it's not your place, what you can't do is get a big lead and make a stupid fielding error and then it all crumbles. Because if that happens, you're losing game seven. You're not going to get close. Trust me, as a Rangers fan who knew in 2011 the way game seven was going to go, the baseball gods will pay you back. Now, if you just normally lose tonight, that's different. And the part I really love about tonight is the Blake Snell factor, because he's already had one of these games in the series. Hey, Blake, we need you to be a stud and even things up. Okay, give me the ball. And just like the last one, it's him against a bullpen session. Because the Dodgers realize now they can go, they're going regular rest, hand it to Walker Buehler in game seven if they need it. Tonight's the night Blake Snell needs to be a stud again. And if he does, it just sets it up for game seven, and you never know. So tonight should be great. That series has already provided us with a couple of wild moments. Game four, game five, then they've played a good brand of baseball pretty much throughout. Games one and two, I think, were both blowouts at one point and didn't feel as close. But these last couple have had some really good drama in them. The Clayton Kershaw story is interesting. The way Mookie Betts plays is always amazing. And then Rosarena is just incredible. That kid from Tampa might be, of everybody that's in that series, the fact that he might be the most dangerous hitter tells you everything you need to know. Tonight, 7:08 on Fox, Blake Snell. And you know what, Tony Gonsolin, I'm going to bring your name up too. Because sometimes it's the guy you don't think is coming that's coming. What if he gives them six strong? What if he gives them something that Dave Roberts doesn't expect and they close it out tonight? We'll see. Dodgers trying to finish it and get the ghosts of 88 off their back to where people will stop saying, you know, Kirk Gibson, that's the last time. And let's face it. If you're the Dodgers, I'll say it for them, because I could tell Craig Way didn't want to necessarily say it today. If you're a Dodgers fan, not only have you not finished it, you got beat in two straight World Series that are in question. I'm sorry, that's just a fact. You got beat in two World Series where both teams were punished by the league for cheating. One of them all the way through the run, the other just during the regular season. I don't know how that's supposed to make me feel better if I'm a Dodgers fan. That has to suck, man, for them. For that part of it, I kind of hope the Dodgers get it done tonight. Some other news and notes that we may not have gotten to. We talked about a lot of the Cowboys stuff, injury stuff in the NFL. Deebo Samuel with a hamstring. He's out two games for the Niners. Jeff Wilson is out three games for the Niners. He'd been looking really good, the running back out of North Texas. Chris Godwin, for you fantasy owners, Godwin is out with a broken finger. He will not play. Antonio Brown, of course, is a buck. I guess now Antonio Brown could filter in to that game this week. The Bucs do not play until Monday night at the Giants, so that would give him an extra day, but I think he would be able to play. Also, I mentioned this earlier, but let's hit it again. Wisconsin's quarterback, redshirt freshman Graham Mertz, he did test positive for COVID. They're trying to do retests and figure out if they can find a negative test. But his backup also has a positive. And Cone's already hurt with the foot injury. They may go down to their fourth string guy. The only good news is his name is Danny Vandenboom. Yes, Danny Vandenboom is the kid's name. He's actually played for him a couple years ago. He might be their quarterback at Wisconsin. That's a crazy story. Remember, at least 21 days, you got to sit with the Big Ten protocol. Crazy. All right, back for a Wednesday show tomorrow. That means we'll talk to Justin Wells at 105, and Trey Elling will be back. Keep it right here. The triple option is coming up with RBKD. Keep it warm out there. Take a layer. See you.